Joining us today on MMA Rated Radio is the man who will be facing Nick Diaz on July 26th in enemy territory, no less, Diaz's hometown of Stockton, California. Of course, I'm talking about Thomas Wildman Denny, the former King of the Cage veteran who has won four of his last five, including his Elite XC debut in March. What up, Wildman?
What's going on, y'all?
Yeah, so I got a lot of questions to ask you, and first and foremost, your voicemail, you're kind of giving a, I don't know, is it some sort of like advice, or I'm guessing it's a famous quote or something. What is that?
Yeah, that's basically what it is, just a kind of motto that a lot of us live by over here at Team Wild, man, just to, you know, no matter what's in front of you, just keep walking, man, and just shrug it off and continue to move forward.
Who said that quote originally?
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know. I've been saying it for shit probably 10 years now, and I don't even know where it came from.
Okay, cool. Well, it was probably the most unique voicemail I've ever heard. But that is probably the best way to describe you, because you're a very unique fighter and have a very unique style. And there's probably a reason why they call you the Wild Man. Where did that nickname come from?
You know what, when I first started this whole, you know, mixed martial arts thing, I used, you know, every different kind of nickname I could come up with. I mean, every fight it was something different, just to be a little unique and different, you know. The only thing that's predictable about the Wild Man is he's unpredictable. I was out as the Destroyer, the Tiger, all kinds of different things. And I got an email from Spin Bean. He's a promoter out in Colorado, and he hits me up on email, and real big, with the letters, I got it, the Wild Man. And so I'd be honest with my wife, I'm like, hey, the Wild Man? And she's like, yeah, that's you, perfect. You know, and it's kind of just stuck, and I've stuck with it.
By the way, if you look, I this is probably a coincidence, but, you know, I was doing some research about you, and I went on SureDog, and, you know, believe it or not, the ad that comes up when you look at your page is for Denny's. Is that a coincidence?
I don't know if that's a coincidence or whatever, man. I wish I had Denny's money. I got the last name, but it originated, you know, my great-great-grandfather came over from Ireland, and originally my name was Nick Dennehy, and then I guess to get work, they changed it down to just Dennehy, and then it eventually just became Denny. So now I just run as Denny's, and it's not the Denny's restaurant.
Have you ever contacted them to try to hook you up with a sponsorship or anything?
I haven't. That'd be pretty ironic, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you should, man. You should get your manager, Ken Pavia, to get on that.
Yeah.
I'll send them an anonymous email.
There you go. Well, if Ken's listening or he's reading, you know, he'll know to jump on it.
All right, cool. Well, like I said, July 26th, it's a huge fight for you. Over in Stockton, California, you're facing Nick Diaz. I was actually quite critical of Elite XC for booking this fight, not because of you, but just because of all the buzz that was surrounding the Diaz-KJ Nunes fight. I figured it was obvious that Nick's next fight would be against KJ. So that said, were you surprised that when you heard your next fight was against Nick in his hometown of Stockton?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, I think everybody agreed with that. You know, the little thing that happened, the little eruption afterwards or whatever. You know, Nick is a showman. I don't know if, you know, he means it all the time, but I mean, he comes off as kind of a jackass. And I mean, a lot of people don't think he has a lot of class in the sport. And, you know, that little eruption that happened afterwards and, you know, flipping people off and whatever, I thought, man, yeah, they'll definitely book that. But I guess, KJ wants some time off and wants to, you know, take the fight serious, where Nick wants to fight, you know, as much as he can. So, I mean, I love the opportunity, and that's, just going to be a benefit towards me, because hopefully, you know, after moving past Diaz, hopefully I get that shot against Nunes.
What's your take on Nick, you know, a little more specifically? I mean, especially after that, and him and his brother, they're known as kind of like the bad boys of MMA, flipping people off. They always have this smug look on their face. Are you, you know, in the Team Diaz camp, or do you think that it's a little too much now?
You know what, it's definitely too much. I mean, it's over the top. I mean, like I said, it's no class. The thing is we're trying to build this sport, and this sport is getting so big. And, man, I mean, I'll tell you what, I got a lot of kids that are fans of mine, and if I would be pretty bummed out if some of my fans, my little kids came up to me and they asked me, you know, hey, Thomas, why are you flipping people off, you know? And that's kind of giving them that that thing where they, you know, can flip people off, and hey, it's cool to flip people off. Man, come on, have some class. You know, you shouldn't be flipping people off, especially, you know, on a stage in front of, you know, 5 million viewers.
So I'm guessing that you're, you know, this kind of adds a little fire. I mean, sometimes when you're faced with a guy, you don't have any beef against him. But given the fact that you're not a huge fan of his antics, it kind of like, you know, pushes you a little for this fight, right?
It definitely does. I mean, that's obviously good cop, bad cop kind of thing. And, I mean, I don't mind it. It adds a little flavor. He talks a lot of trash about me and, you know, about my, you know, my whatever, ever, you know, however he perceives me. With you know, painting my fingernails and doing my hair and stuff like that. That goes a little deeper than, you know, he's a pretty shallow person because he doesn't even really realize what that is. That's something, you know, from my family that's given to me. And that's my kids being a part of my fighting tradition. And, you know, he can look at me as being a fag or, you know, whatever he wants. But, you know, when I'm punching him in the face, he's going to think a little differently.
What has he said about you?
This is actually our second or third time that we've actually been matched up to fight. We were supposed to fight on a GFC. That was canceled. I think they're trying to set us up another time. That's when he got in trouble for his marijuana use and was suspended. So I think this is like the third time that we're actually finally supposed to meet. So what's he said about me? He said a lot about me. He talked a lot of trash about me already.
And he like insinuated that you know, we're kind of batting on the other side of the field because of the way you did your hair and your nails?
Yeah, oh, for sure. He said, you know, he's made some homo remarks and this and that. It's funny, you know, I'm married 13 years, I have two beautiful daughters, and yeah, but I'm a homo, okay.
All right, well, that's interesting. And what's your take on, you know, the last fight that we saw Diaz compete in was against Mushin Corbery. A very convincing victory. I mean, he ended it in the third round, but, you know, he looked sort of like his old self for the first time in Elite XC. But he comes in, you know, 9 pounds overweight in a division that it's clear that the UFC created for him. What was your take on all that?
Oh, man, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, if I was Mushin Corbery, I wouldn't even have taken the fight. You know, when you're at that level, and I mean, obviously, he didn't dedicate himself and didn't train like he was supposed to. How the hell did you come 9 pounds overweight? I can understand 1 pound, you know, a pound and a half, you know, because scales are off. But 9 pounds, that's not even trying. And then what if Mushin, you know, he cut his weight. He did everything right. He did his diet right. You know, he comes in on weight. And then here's this guy that didn't even care. That's just disrespectful. Like I said, no class, disrespectful guy. I mean, it seems kind of hand in hand. Let's see if he makes weight for my fight. He comes into my fight 9 pounds overweight. He's not going to have a fight to fight.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, would you, even if, you know, because I'm sure he gave, that was the rumor that, you know, he gave up some of his purse to Mushin, but would
well,
you?
I mean, it's in the books. I mean, you have to. They deduct 20% of your purse, 10 goes to commission, 10 goes to you. But it's not about money. It's about, hey, if you want to fight at 169, fight at the 170-pound class. You don't deserve to be in our class, then. This is a 160-pound class.
So if let's just say you were in that position, would you just say no, I'm not taking it?
I would have said no. I would have turned and walked away. I would have said, go cut weight. And if they don't make him, you know, cut weight, then I mean, it's not even worth taking the fight. That's a different weight class. That's not even the right weight class.
Nice. All right. I like that. And what about the fact that this fight is going down in Stockton? This is his hometown, and it's a huge, you know, probably the biggest fight ever in that neck of the woods. And now you're going into enemy territory. He's going to be loved by everyone there.
Well, the thing is I don't know if, you know, if you check out some of my past and my past experiences, the best way I fight is when I'm the worst underdog. I mean, when I fought, you know, George St. Pierre, I was a huge underdog. But, you know, I went in and I still fought, and I fought well. You know, I mean, I took him, you know, deep in the water. When I fought Tony Franklin, you know, I was like a 4-1 underdog. You know, no one even counted that I was going to make it out to pass the first round. I finished Tony Franklin faster than anyone has in his whole career. I finished him in like a minute and 12 seconds. I fight best when I'm the underdog. You boo me, you throw water bottles at me, and that's just going to make me fight even better.
Okay, so a lot of people would say that, I think, because I think it's always easier to be sort of like the heel, and I think that's why Nick takes this approach, right? That it just kind of gets you a little more fired up.
Oh, for sure.
All right. So I like that. I like that approach. Okay, CBS, though, that's now a whole other beast because you fought on you know, you fought on big shows, and like you said, you fought in hostile territory, but now you have the added sort of pressure, for lack of a better term, that, the biggest audiences in the history of mixed martial arts on television are going to watch. If you know, the first show is any indication, have you sort of thought about how big this show is in terms of history?
Yeah, it's going to be huge, and that's why I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited that Elite XC has, given me this opportunity to be a part of this. Like I said, originally when they first brought up the first show to me, I kind of was hesitant. I was like, let's wait, let this first CBS show see how it pans out, and maybe I'll be on the next show. And here it is, man. It was written in the stars, because here's the second CBS show. I'm on it, and then I'm against Diaz, a guy I don't like anyway. So I mean, this is perfect for me, and it's the number one contender spot. So what more could I ask for? I mean, I don't think it's pressure at all. I think it's just, it's supposed to be where it's supposed to be. It's all unfolding like it's supposed to.
They offered you a spot on the first CBS show?
No, when they first started talking about the CBS show, and Jeremy Lappin and I were on the same Inside MMA together, and he'd asked me, would you be interested in fighting on that show? And I said, probably not, because it's happening so fast right after my Mila Pet fight, that I was like, I'll probably just, and then that's what I was thinking in my own mind. I was like, man, let that first show play out, see how it goes, see how the turnout is, and then, the next show, man, maybe I can get on there. And then, sure enough, here it is.
And have they given you any, firm indication that this is, in fact, a number one contender? Like, if you beat Nick, will you get a shot at KJ Nunes before him?
I don't see why I wouldn't. I mean, that's what it seems to be that everybody's building up as is. I mean, here's, the spot for number one and number two, so why don't the winner fight KJ?
Yeah, and I mean, it would seem to be that way. You never know how promoters go, and it's almost like, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. UFC had a money-making match between, Krokop and Couture. They put Gabriel Gonzaga in there, and he shocks the world. And you can be Gabriel Gonzaga. You can derail all their plans. I'm sure you kind of like that idea as well.
Oh, like I said, I mean, I'm the underdog in this one. Everybody still judges me from when I fought 9 years ago. You know what I mean? When I first came into the sport, I never had a trainer. I never had anything. I just jumped in. I was a good kickboxer, good boxer, and jumped into this MMA world. And people are still judging me as that guy from 9 years ago. So continue to judge me as that guy, because I've evolved. I'm a mixed martial artist now. I mean, I'm training harder for this fight than I train for anything. So people are just, gonna doubt me. And then when I do go in and I do shock the world, they're going to think to themselves, man, we can't count this wild man out. He still is evolving as a martial artist.
Are you referring to your loss to Eve Edwards, or is there another specific loss that you think people continue to harp on?
No, I just think my career in general. I mean, if you follow my career, I never was really given a chance by any one camp. Every camp I went to, they already had their token 170 pounder. So I was always the guy helping the guy getting ready. I was always the sparring partner. Or no one ever said, hey, let me train this guy and make this guy a number one contender. Let's get this guy a shot at it. I was always, going to fights and having my wife corner me, or going to fights and having friends corner me. I never had an official trainer until I met Colin Oyama. And I was there for 16 months. And I mean, and since I trained with Colin Oyama, I think if you look at my record, I'm 17-4, something like that. And since that, I came back and avenged one of the losses by knockout. I mean, so I've evolved completely in the last 3 years of my career, 4 years of my career.
Yeah, you certainly turned things around, like you said, in the last 3 or 4 years of your career. And in your debut for Elite XC, it was the Show XC show, first day of spring, March 21st of this year. And it was a controversial one. You won by DQ against Malapay. What, in your mind, I mean, we all saw the fight, but what was your take on how the whole thing played out?
You know what? I don't think it was controversial at all. I think it was a pretty one-sided fight if you watch the fight. Mila Pet was looking for a way out. And it's not like I go and in my gym, I'm like, hey, guys, elbow me in the back of the head and the neck as hard as you can so I can see what kind of effect it's going to give me. So I can see if it's going to knock me out, or it's going to give me muscle spasm in my neck, or whatever it's going to do. It was a one-sided fight. The guy oiled up to get out of my submissions. He knew I was going to submit him, so he oiled up. He was nice and, slick on the ground. And so then, as you see, I changed my game plan from submissions to just start pounding his face in with elbows and punches. I mean, I ended up, his orbital socket was all messed up. He had a huge cut over his eye, lumps all over his forehead. So if he wouldn't have done the illegal elbows, I mean, the second round would have been just more of the same. I would have just continued to beat his face in. So, I mean, controversial, yeah, on his part, not on my part.
For a second, I thought that they were going to do a rematch between you two guys. Was there any talk in that direction?
There never was, because supposedly he wanted to drop down to the 150-pound weight class. And in order for me to get to the 150-pound weight class, I'd have to cut off my left leg. So I don't think that'll work being a one-legged fighter.
And what about 160? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, 160 is my weight class. I feel great at 160 pounds. I mean, I normally walk around about 175, and that's what I found at the 170-pound weight class. And I was always a small 170-pound guy. They brought the 60-pound weight class in, and that's perfect for me because I've always been, I have a lot of muscle, and I've been dense, so I can't quite make 55. But that 5 pounds extra is everything to me. 160 is perfect for me.
All right, so I'm sure you visualized this Nick Diaz fight. In your mind, can you kind of give me a brief preview as to how you think this is all going to go down?
The real one or the fake one that I'm telling everybody else?
The more entertaining one.
The more entertaining one. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to pick him up. I'm going to slam him on his head. I'm going to give him a liver kick and follow up with a left hook, right hand. Fight's done. Fight's over.
That's like 10 to 15 seconds.
There you go. That's going to be and there might be some jumping around and cartwheels and some backflips in between, but, you know, we'll see how he reacts to it.
And now the big question is, will you flip him off when you beat him?
No. You'll never see me flip somebody off. You'll never see me, you know, I'm not going to drop to his – stoop to his level. Like I said, I got too many fans that, you know, we're trying to make our sport grow as a business and as an entertainment, but not as we're classless thug fighters.
And what if Nathan Diaz gets involved there, you know, pre or post fight? What do you think?
Yeah, Nathan Diaz can do whatever he wants because I'll have about 100 Team Wildman guys there too, so I'm not too worried about his antics. He wants to start some antics. I'll have some of my guys there too, so I'm not too worried about it.
All right, well, on July 26th, the Wild Man comes to CBS. I don't know if mainstream America is ready for you, but I think it's going to be a great, great showing, and very excited to hear that you're finally getting this big chance to show the world what you're all about. Thomas, best of luck to you on the 26th and beyond, no doubt.
I appreciate it. Thanks for all your guys' time, and thanks for all the people watching MMArated.com and listening in, and thanks to all the guys that are behind me.
You want to give any props to any sponsors?
Yeah, if you can, check out some Bloodfist Battle Gear, check out Toe-to-Toe, check out some Premier Fighter, and you can go to ThomasDenny.com or UTFMMA.com and check out more about myself, my team, and kind of what we're doing.